All right, howdy folks, Tad here with Joe, and we're going to try a little fancy schmancy thing here.
Oh!
If you don't recognize that sound, go ahead and listen to the Chris Chan and Serial Killer and...
Hometown Hero Movie Making Podcast.
That's right. He was in all three of those, and we were talking and we realized that I've seen maybe 6 movies, while Joe has seen at least like 12.
Yeah.
So... Joe's gonna, it's kind of like Swole Quest, only a little bit less anime. Well, maybe it'll be more anime. I don't know. Joe chooses a movie. I have no idea what it is. He thinks it's good, or maybe he thinks it's terrible. But we're going to do, Joe, can you hand me the DVD case here?
Sure.
So the DVD for this episode is Brazil from the Criterion Collection.
Yes, it's Terry Gilliam's Brazil.
Okay, it looks like a dude just like Icarus jumping out of a filing cabinet for the cover. Let's look at the back here. Brazil, the final cut. This is a bunch of forms here. Hitting the imagination of common man Sam Lowry, the brilliantly befuddled Jonathan Pryce, against the oppressive stormtroopers of the Ministry of Information, Terry Gilliam's Brazil has come to be regarded as an anti-totalitarian cautionary tale equal to those of George Orwell, Aldous Huxley, and Kurt Vonnegut Jr. Gathering footage from both the American and European versions of this masterpiece, Gilliam has assembled the ultimate 142-minute director's cut of his most celebrated film. Alright, so I'm getting kind of a good vibe of what this movie's about.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious.
Okay, so it is in color. It says color.
Yep, it's in color.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, my expectations, I expect it to be kind of a moody piece.
Yeah, you could say that.
Oh, good, there's subtitles.
Yes, there are. Don't worry, it's in English.
Okay, that's the next question I was going to ask you. Okay, this is 1985, so the cover's making it look a lot older than
Okay, this. Yeah. So do you want me to kind of give you a little bit of a synopsis of what this is? A little bit?
Don't spoil it,
because
this is just an opening thing, and
definitely.
Then we'll come back once I've actually watched the movie.
So Terry Gilliam's basically the guy who got the Monty Python troupe together back in the 60s.
Okay.
He was responsible for a lot of that. He actually saved the Monty Python tapes from the BBC because they were just going to throw them in the dumpster and he paid for them. And then he started directing stuff. And this is my favorite movie that he directed. Basically, it's what I think our world is going to look like in 10 years.
In 10 years?
Yes.
10 years from 1985 or 10 years from today?
10 years from now.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a little bit like 1984. Which is why they mentioned George Orwell. It's kind of a comedy with very, very sinister undertones.
Okay.
And yeah, I like this movie a lot. It's got some really good themes, and I just thought it was topical for the things that are happening now.
Yeah. So we'll go ahead and end this right here, and then we will come back to you guys after the movie. So we'll see you then.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, so that was Brazil.
Yeah, what did you think of it, Tad?
There's a lot I liked about it. There's a few things I thought were pretty out there or weren't pulled off very well.
Yeah.
So just start here, Joe. Should we make these? I'm assuming we should just do these with a spoiler warning as we talk about the movie.
Well, yeah,
we're talking
about the movie.
Yeah.
35 years old.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it by now...
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, right up the ass.
Yeah. Yeah,
or your cunt hole if you're a lady.
Well, you can't say that on camera, Joe.
You can't?
Anyway, so... I liked the visual design of the movie a lot. The ways that a lot of the shots were framed. This was my favorite part of the movie. It was just like how everything... It had like 6 different art styles going on. It was kind of weird. Like, there was, the dude's apartment looked like it was stripped, like, straight out of Portal, or, like, an unfinished Half-Life 2 map, or TF2 map. There was a lot of miniature uses, which I thought were pretty nice and fun. You know, there was a lot of, like, the guy who would zip down the building, and it was very obviously a miniature. Because, like, he wouldn't be looking the right way, but they just said, fuck it, we're not doing this goddamn scene anymore, we're gonna go with this take.
Yep, old Robert De Niro.
There was a lot of really really fun ways that he shot scenes using mirrors, because like there was one scene where he helped a guy in a wheelchair in the shitter, and Joe pointed out, I don't know how the fuck they did not get the camera in that shot, because the entire room was mirrors.
Yeah.
They must have had a fucking trigonometry, geometry professor in there, being like, okay, well, you know, if you have the camera from here, and you point here, 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 if you move this, I don't know how the fuck they did that.
Yeah, yeah. No, Gilliam's, like, always got really weird shots he likes to do. Like, he's been involved in a lot of different movies before. He was involved with all the Monty Python movies. He directed one of them. And then he directed a whole bunch of his own stuff later on.
Yeah, but, it was pretty interesting movie. It was kind of playing out like a standard movie for, like, the first hour and, like, what, it was 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's right? About 2.5 hours.
So it was playing out like a standard movie for the first, like,
two hours. Half, probably, yeah.
Like, hour and a half, 2 hours. One thing I really didn't like was, there was, like, the whole thing with the lady, what was her name again?
The one that's falling apart, or,
The short blonde hair.
Okay, yeah, that's, like, the kind of, like, Jill.
Jill was her name. Like, that whole, like, segment felt weird and rushed.
Yeah.
Like, and then that brings into the question, like, later in the movie, like, it keeps doing a bunch of jump cuts, like, is it just all in his mind? No, maybe it's not. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But at what point?
Yeah, you don't know when it starts.
Yep. And so that, I don't know, I can kind of hand wave it away as that.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, basically, it's just kind of like a weird chick who's already on the government watch list. So he completely, like, fucks her over.
Eh.
Like, he got her killed.
It's like in one of the Shadowrun games. There's this dude, he's a Decker he's an optional party member, and his quest is, like, he's trying to find his girlfriend who ghosted his ass. And then once you fully do the quest, she's like, I left because the government's on my fucking ass.
Yeah.
You idiot. Get the fuck out of here. And, like, she has to, like, kick him out again and then, like, change countries again.
Yeah. Because I think Jill's kind of like a play on how in most other movies, if the main character wants a chick, he gets the chick, and she doesn't really have a personality outside of what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a play on that, I think, and also how she immediately, like, goes along with it, even though she would have absolutely no reason to.
Yeah, see, I thought, I'm like, okay, I mean, am I missing something here? Because this seems like a really bad, like, flatline thing, where she's like, oh, yeah, no, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, this dude's acting like a total fucking creepwad. Yeah, no, I'll go along with it. Ha ha, he's so romantic.
Yeah, like, yeah. Look at, he's got her used panties in his mouth and he's lapping at him like a dog. How cute.
I did like the cheesy as fuck scenes where he was Icarus flying through the air with a sword, fighting a shogun. I don't know why it was a shogun.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
But, like, the scenes where he was, like, flying around and, like, swinging the shitty-looking sword around was pretty great.
Well, yeah, they ran out of cash. You gotta have cash to make things.
This sword looked like it was made out of leftover mirror props. Four of them, let's just... There we go. It's good enough. Fuck it.
Well, yeah, originally, like, the film was going to open with, like, the beetle, like, just flying through, like, all these buildings and stuff, and nice, like, long takes and stuff, but they ran out of mice, and so they just smashed it on the roof, and that's how it happens.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because the main little... See... One of the characters mentioned Frank, right? Or was it Frank was his name? The torture guy?
Yeah.
Or Jack.
It's Jack.
Yeah, it was Jack. Because I had a feeling Frank was wrong.
Yeah.
But Jack was like, it was an inside job. You know, this buttle-tuttle thing was all from the inside. And I'm like, well, okay, was it? Or is it just his, like, you know, him thinking it like that? Or is it just a bug thing? And then he's like going like, well, obviously, you know, conspiracy shit.
Yeah. No, it was a bug.
Yeah. It was a bug in the system.
Yeah.
Ah, it was a little play on words.
Yeah.
A little play on words. I didn't get that just now.
Yeah. See, because there was a beetle jammed up in its guts in the typewriter, and it smushed it and made a B instead of a T.
Ugh.
Yeah.
But why don't you hit me with some of them hard-hitting facts, Joe?
Yeah, so Gilliam got the money from Embassy Pictures and Universal. He was able to make it. He ran out of money, but he was still able to make the movie. And then Universal Pictures basically saw this 2.5 hour long cut that they had no idea what was happening, and audiences hated it. So they kicked Gilliam out of the editing room and edited it down to a 97 long minute Love Conquers All edit, it's called.
What the fuck?
Yes. Most of the nice looking shots are out of the film. Most of like the cool, like weird stuff that you don't see again, it's completely out. And the protagonist of the film, it ends with them like going off with two children, and they win in the end. Love conquers all.
Wait, where the fuck did they get like those scenes from? Did they just like kick them out and then reshoot like a few of those last scenes?
Yeah, what it is, it's like one angle of her like smiling at him, and then an angle of him in bed. So it wouldn't have been hard to reshoot that.
What the? Because like you said, there was a lot of really cool, just like one-off little dumb.
Yeah,
things.
All that's gone.
Like, you know, like I really like the overusage of tubes everywhere.
Yeah, the tubes are still in a lot because they're in the background.
Yeah.
But like basically anything. Oh, like the homeless bum just like looking over the towering cities, and then it reveals it's just like a mannequin type thing that he's spilling his beer over.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like remove all the shots like that.
All just the artistic, unnecessary shots to get this movie out here.
97 minutes, you gotta chop it. Yeah, cut it up.
With Shaq.
Yeah. So basically, the film wasn't going to be released in its current edit over here, but Gilly, basically, he took out, like, a page ad in the New York Times, I think it was, saying, like, oh, dear Sid Seibert, when will you release my film, Terry Gilliam?
No.
That's all it said. And there was, like, a long dispute between him and Gilliam that Gilliam made public on different talk shows and stuff, saying, like, this guy will not release my film.
Professional.
Yeah. Well, you gotta do what you gotta do to get your movie out there.
I guess so. I mean, it worked.
Yeah, it did. He was going to show a clip from the movie that he got permission from Universal to a bunch of studios. And by the clip, he just showed the entire movie several times. Yeah, for, like, free screenings. And then also, he, like, took a copy, like, out of the studio, and he was just showing it to critics and stuff, and all the critics loved it. Yeah. So that's how it was eventually released in its full form over here in America.
Okay, okay. Yeah. What is Criterion? How are they associated with, this thing, or are they just like a DVD publishing company, or what?
Criterion's a boutique, expensive releasing label. Basically, they pick out like a list of the best films ever made, and like some contemporary stuff that changed things, and just lists and lists like that. So they scooped up Brazil as soon as they possibly could and released it on five Laserdiscs back in the day, a five Laserdisc set.
I mean, God, how much could it's a 2.5 hour long. Was that a 2.5
hour?
No,
hour it's special features. They were the ones who started special features,
okay,
basically.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I'm sure that retailed for like $150 back in the day.
Oh, for fucking sure. I don't even know what a Laserdisc looks like.
It looks like a giant vinyl, and sometimes you have to pop it out and then like put the backside of the movie in. It looks like a giant DVD the size of, like, a record. And,
oh, I think I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I haven't messed with a Laserdisc personally myself, but I hear you only get about 20 minutes per side.
Jeez.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was the beginning of DVD, which is good, because I do not like VHS.
Yeah, VHS sucks.
Yep, and they're all going to die in less than 30 years.
Oh, God, that's right, because they're going to they're going to deteriorate.
They're melting already.
Shit.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Yep. Yeah, so you got backup whatever you've got. If you have, like, precious childhood memories, those are going to be gone in 10 years, so you better back them up now.
It's like the Game Boy Advance Pokemon games. The batteries are dying in them, and you're not going to be able to play them.
Your Charizard's going to be gone in the ocean. He's going to be drowned, and he'll be going...
Yep, it's because fire types.
Yeah, not good against water.
Boom, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like a siren pulled him under, and his tail's going like... And then he's going, oh, help me, little Timmy. I was your Pokemon back in the day, and you've got to save me. You've got to help me.
And he comes back like the weird baby people in this movie. He's got the mask.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He looks like the fucking enemies from Alice Madness Returns.
I haven't played that game. I hear it's good.
It's pretty much like that scene where he was running around with the shitty sword.
Okay.
Fighting the giant shogun with all the weird baby-faced people.
Yeah, yeah. I really like how they, basically, they... kind of tease the baby faces before you see what they actually are.
I really liked that scene when he gets captured again, he's going through and they're reading him off, like, these are the crimes you've done. And you can see, like, they've gotten so efficient, they have, like, six different, like, fucking stations that people are just going across to as they're reading off their crimes. Like, yeah, you know, you gotta pay for all your stuff, we can give you a loan.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yep. Like, four or five different insurance companies.
Yeah, it was pretty cheeky.
Yeah,
I liked that. Like you said when we started, when we were watching, you're like, yeah, it's a comedic movie with a bunch of really sinister, like...
Yeah, undertones. Yeah. No, because people think that basically Brazil predicted now, like right now. But Gilliam actually said that wasn't his intention. He thought that Brazil was basically like what life was back in 1985, and just he amplified it.
I mean, hey, that's all you gotta do.
Yeah.
It's like a really nice tip I once heard for making like a post-apocalypse world is to take one aspect and just whoop, make it really, really, really huge, and everything else will just kind of fall into place.
Yeah. I think that's what they did with The Road.
With The Road?
Yeah, it's a really good post-apocalyptic movie. Basically, the like...
Is that the one with the evil tire that kills people?
No, that's The Road. Maybe that is
Rubber.
The Road. Oh, that's Rubber. Yeah, that's right. No, basically, the sun basically kind of fucked up, so no plants can no longer live ever again. So they gotta survive that.
I mean, you can't.
No, they can. You gotta eat people, but
oh, okay.
You can.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
This movie looked a lot like the Super Mario Brothers movie, and the fact that Bob Hoskins was in the movie as a character in overalls with a red hat was also pretty like, whoa, hey. When did the Super Mario Brothers movie
that has
out?
To be 90-something. Mario Bros. It was 85. It came out the same year as Brazil. I think Mario Brothers movie was probably 92, maybe 93. Three, four.
Yeah, go ahead and Google it.
Yeah. Ooh, look at these hot keystrokes. It's like ASMR.
Now, it's a high-quality high-quality podcasting.
Yeah, now you're standing next to the bed and you're hearing an old man.
Okay, it was 1993, so about 8 years after this movie.
Yeah.
Because it looked like that... Joe, you have seen the Super Mario Bros. Movie, right?
No, I haven't.
You haven't?
I've seen a lot of clips.
Oh, shit. We should flip this sideways and do that.
Yeah, like a reverse dollop.
Because I've seen the Super Mario Bros. Movie, and it's pretty fucking weird.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I know a lot of the production stories behind that, but no, I haven't seen the movie yet.
Oh, yeah. We should do that. And I think it's controversial opinion. Woo, 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 woo. Controversial opinion. I think it's a better. I think it's a better movie than if there was just a generic good like Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't really know what you would even do. You could do it animated and have like some good like flair in it. You can make it look nice, but I don't know what the story would be because there isn't really a story in Super Mario Bros. It's just gameplay.
Yeah,
and there's no real universe that you can like world build and make characters out of.
Without having to go through 6 billion fucking hoops.
Yeah, which is what they did in the Super Mario Bros. Movie. They, like, stuck him in New York, and they made Dennis Hopper, like, Bowser.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. Imagine if it's, like, Dennis Hopper from Blue Velvet is, like, Bowser. He's just sucking down nitrous and, like, saying baby wants to fuck.
See, I don't know what this movie is.
It's good.
God, is this what it's like when I talk about Homestuck to someone
else?
Yeah,
I think, yeah, it is.
Where it's just like, you can say any crazy bullshit
and
say, oh, no, it's from this movie. And I'd be like, I can't dispute it.
Exactly.
Like, I can tell you, oh, yeah, no, there's 6 gay frog elves, and they have a shipping grid.
Oh,
made
really?
Up of the Lucky Charm system that's a 12x12 grid. And you'd be like, I can't dispute it.
Sounds like a plot hole.
I can't go a single goddamn episode of any podcast without talking about Homestuck.
Yeah. I like it whenever they make the boy characters kiss in their fan fictions.
Fan fact.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so back on topic, how did you discover this movie, Joe?
So I really liked a couple other Gilliam movies I saw. There's a weird one he did called Tideland, which is Alice in Wonderland with heroin. It's a little girl's parents die of a heroin overdose, and she's stuck in the desert with a bunch of weird characters.
I was gonna say, it kind of sounds like, isn't that similar to the movie Sucker Punch?
Maybe. I haven't seen Sucker Punch, but...
I think that's what Sucker Punch was about. Yeah. Was like, the person was like this is, like, my vague recollections, because I saw it at 3 a.m. once. And it's, like, a movie where, like, there's, like, a girl, she's working at, like, a strip club, I think. And she kind of, like, retreats into her mind and does all this crazy stuff to, like, deal with it. Mm. I may be completely wrong.
But can you see, like, her bra?
I don't know, probably.
Oh.
Give me a booby count in this movie, Joe. I know you were counting. There was at least...
You can see nipples once.
Yeah, but there was, like, the whole scene with, like, the plastic surgeon where there's boobs all over the place.
Those are just I don't count those. Plastic boobs aren't boobs.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
You're a purist.
Exactly, yep. I like my nuggets full of chicken, not soy. Goddamn Subway.
What?
Yep.
So, I mean, Subway nugs are a new thing to me.
No, they're turkey. It's half soy. And their company mascot's a pederast.
Yep. Why do you keep saying it's like pederast is a cross dude like a goat like a ghastly ghost and a pedophile.
Exactly, because you know what? Whenever old Albert Fish got electrocuted, I bet he stood around for a while.
He's a pedo wraith. That's what I think he is, or a pedo ghoul.
Oh yeah, because see, ghouls are basically like an undead, like shambling thing, but they're not really a zombie. They don't bite people, so he'd probably just be chilling around, sticking needles up wherever they go.
One thing I was worried about the movie was that it was going to be a little too heavy-handed about some of the aspects.
Oh, yeah. It could have gone that way.
That's what I was thinking, because I'm like, okay, you know, we're going to see, like, oh, the, you know, those zombies are just everyone working their 9-to-5s.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee. But no, it was a little more, I don't know if subtle's the right word for it.
Well, it displays a type of government that could conceivably happen because it doesn't happen because people are evil. It just happens because people are incompetent and they don't want to change things.
Yeah.
And also, just there's so many papers. There's so many goddamn papers everywhere.
So many goddamn... I thought the plum... I keep calling him the plumber. The Mario character was a little too much of an asshole. Because he gets him out of the apartment by saying, like, hey, do you have this form? And the guy's like... All right, asshole. I guess I'll come back with that form.
Yeah.
And then he, like, evicts him from his house.
Yeah,
later,
he trashes his place and kicks him out.
It's like, okay, I think you overreacted there, Mario. Slow the fuck down.
At least he didn't stomp on him until he died.
Yeah, that's true. I thought that was pretty weird in the Mario Bros. Movie where someone cut Mario in line and he hits him with, like, a hammer.
Yeah.
And he starts jumping on his skull until it breaks.
Weird. That was a really weird scene because also he takes out his little plumber cock and just comes into his brains. And it lasts for 45 minutes. So I think that club went on the cutting room floor.
And then it's like a mushroom goes out of it, like cordyceps.
That's right. That's right. Little tiny mushrooms start growing out of the cum brain mixture. It, like, because time, it elapses of time, it goes do-do-do-do, and it says 100 years later. And then little tiny toads pop up and they say, oh, hi, Mario. Oh, that's just Mario's bones because we've been in this brain for too long.
Yeah. That's why that movie had a lot of, like, really weird restrictions on it, because halfway through it, they just took place 100 years in the future.
Yeah, exactly. And also Bowser was smoking, and you can't show that in a kid's film.
That's true.
Yeah.
He was smoking fucking weed.
Yeah. And he was probably smoking, like, old pubes wrapped up in a towel. That's what all my weed is.
Is there anything else we should say on this movie? That we started talking about three other movies in the discussion of?
Well, I mean, it like a podcast is basically just like rambling into a microphone until you stop.
Yeah, or until I physically remove you from my room.
Well, yeah, that's true. No, I got the Goyf.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you bought my Tarmogoyf and Arid Mesa.
Yeah,
because none of these other idiots I can find would want to buy it.
No, I'll hold on to it till I can find the sucker.
Yeah, you'll find some dumb fuck who wants to buy a Tarmogoyf for $80.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I was gonna say, with Brazil, so it finally got released on Criterion on DVD in, I don't know, probably like 2002 or something.
It was 2009. I was looking at the back of the DVD,
cool.
Like, second edition.
Well, they also, they re-released it. So, yeah, but yeah, they actually have The Love Conquers all cut if you buy the 3-disc edition.
Huh.
And you can get that real cheap nowadays. It's like $12, $15, whatever.
Yeah, movies are pretty cheap, which is good. I'm happy that movies are cheap.
Yeah. Except for some stuff. If you want Begotten on DVD, you're going to pay $150.
Oh, you know what that is. If you want a little... or what is it? Samson's Quest for the NES?
Little Samson.
Yeah, you want a little Samson? You better fucking...
800.
Yeah, 800. Come on, cough it up. What are you, poor?
Yeah.
What are you, poor and stupid? You want a little Samson?
Yeah, come on. It's the best game ever on the NES. It's a really hard... you've never heard of this great game before. Come on, let me sell you it. I've got 8 copies in my room. Let me sell you it. I've hoarded them. Now, that actually is a theory that popular YouTubers make videos on hidden gems that they have 30 copies of in their ass.
Yeah, I believe that 100%.
Yeah.
Isn't that what happened with the Beanie Baby shit in the 90s? Like, a dude was like, no. Look at these super rare Beanie Babies.
So what happened with the Beanie Babies?
Bum.
That's part of it. But the first wave of Beanie Babies were genuinely rare. And there were some dumb people who were buying them. Yeah, yeah. But then what happened was they made 100 billion different copies of them. And then they became worth less than the material they were made out of. Because, yeah, I mean, you can't... I don't know anyone who would even want a Beanie Baby if you paid them. Because they probably have lice. I mean, kids were playing with them back in, like, the day.
That's actually pretty true. You literally couldn't pay me to take a Beanie Baby. I went yard sailing, and there was, like, a buy, you know, 25 cents, you get six, you get, like, all these little toys for free. And I was like, oh, hey, I'll buy Lennon this little sheep.
Yeah.
And then, like, oh, yeah, you get three, you get, like, six as well. And I'm like, all right,
Look at there's a John Wayne Gacy Beanie Baby. there's like a Santa Claus Beanie Baby, but he's got like a little elf poking out of his pocket. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's got a trouser elf.
Oh,
and like I took
yeah.
six of them. I'm like, I don't want these.
Yeah, so you just
and I
like,
just put them in the thing, and I just took the sheep, and I'm like, I don't want any of this shit. I'm
yeah,
just gonna
yeah.
take them and throw them away.
No, yeah, you could, like, throw them down an open manhole cover, because that's where most of them end up. Yeah, they just end up in our plumbing. which was a big problem, because that's why Hasbro was sued for several billion dollars, because of all this plumbing.
Yeah, it says flushable on the tag.
Exactly, yep.
It's not flushable. There's a very strong debate going on about
exactly.
what Hasbro defines as flushable.
They're like goddamn crocodiles, because people will flush them down the toilet, and next thing you know, there's a 50-foot man-eater in the goddamn sewers, and we gotta make 3 B-movies about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Octocroc, the revenge.
I'll show you an Octocroc, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. Because this octopus has 8 legs and 10 teeth. He's got less teeth because he's been gumming things. That's part of the plot. It's a Sci-Fi Channel movie.
So that was Brazil.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good movie. I was starting to kind of phase out, like, 2 hours into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, because a lot of older movies are filmed a lot more slowly than a lot of people are used to, so I don't know if that was part of it, but
I think
yeah,
that was...
it is deliberately filmed very slow.
Yeah, like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I mean, it's got a lot of interesting shots, the story is hopping all over the place, I don't know what the fuck is happening.
Yeah.
I did really appreciate one thing the movie did. It's like, oh, you know, he's fighting back against his oppressive government. And then the government wins because they have, like, a shitload more resources to track this dude down. Like, he doesn't have a chance to win, and I'm glad
yeah.
he didn't win through some dumb bullshit. It's like,
yeah.
no, you threw a bomb into this thing, like, allegedly, and, like, you did a whole bunch of dumb shit.
Yeah.
Like, no, you got caught. You're in, like, jail. You're getting your head drilled open and shit. Like, what? You're not going to get out of this just because you're the main character.
But that's what Universal wanted, and that's what the studio audiences wanted, because the audiences hated this film whenever it came out.
I can completely see why someone
oh,
would
yeah.
not like this movie. If you're coming into this movie thinking you're going to have a wacky, fun time romp adventure, you are wrong, because that's not what it is. It's like, hey, look, this is a pretty wacky movie. Like, if you have a dark sense of humor, you're going to be laughing at a lot of the jokes. There's a lot of dumb jokes that were in there, and a lot of
yeah,
funny
yeah.
shots. But, like, it doesn't have, like, a super happy ending. It's like a, I don't know, what's a good way to recommend this to someone?
I mean, I'd say if you're either a fan of just weird filmmaking in general, or if you really like government dystopia.
All right, so that'll finish it up for this episode. You can find the normal podcast here on iTunes at Let Me Tell You PD. You can also find us on YouTube, Google Play, and I think I already said iTunes.
Yep.
You can also just go to lmtya.com or letmetellyouabout.moe, letmetellyouabout.moe. LetMeTellYouAbout.com was literally $3,000, so I didn't buy that one. Mm. Don't put that one in there.
Yep.
That guy's a fucking asshole.
Exactly. He's probably got like a bunch of swastikas all over his page, and he's talking about the chemtrails.
Yeah, and it has like an angel fire. Like, this website is under construction.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's a little GIF of an angel, so she's going like
exactly.
Don't come in this website.
Exactly.
Yep.
And then Joe, where can people who for some fucked reason want to hear you talk about like semen and other obscene
yeah.
things.
Yeah, oh, let me, oh, I love my own cum.
So that wasn't an invitation to talk about, just where they can go to see you.
Oh, yeah, I get to do the plugs?
Yep, go ahead and plug your...
Okay,
plug your nasty biz.
Yeah, yeah. So I've I'm on a podcast called 99 Cent Movies, where we talk about the making of a bunch of independent movies, and then I talk filth at the end because they give me the microphone.
Yeah, they give him the microphone. Like, if I wasn't here, Joe right now, similar to the Chris Chan episode, would probably be trying to take his dick out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you've got to have a Joe Wrangler. I've got like a really sharp fork, and I've been poking him right in the shoulder every time he tries to do anything.
I don't like that.
I had to shove him back in his chair 3 times and tell him no.
No.
And, like, whip, like, a pen cap at his head.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm basically, like, a big, like, dog in, like, a man's body. Like, have you ever seen a St. Bernard that maybe got hit in the head with, like, a ball that was, like, 10 pounds?
So, I'll close this out with the image of, if you don't know what Joe looks like, he's a St. Bernard that got hit with a shovel.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm always lapping at your cock.
Joe, I'm shoving you back in the chair.
Oh, no! No! Help! Ah!